The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today in the studio with my daughter Valerie Shepherd. Val, I know that there are a lot of mothers out there that would be very grateful if you could give some help on how in the world to get a tiny baby on some kind of a reasonable schedule so that that baby is not running the whole household. Is that possible?
Well, it's funny. I waited till my sixth baby to discover that it was possible to put them on a schedule from the very beginning. I struggled through the first 3 months of each of the first five babies because it was chaotic. I knew that I should be trying to get them on a three-hour schedule of feeding, but I never quite knew when I should be making them take naps. Well, when I was pregnant with my sixth one, somebody gave me the book My First 300 Babies by Gladys Hendrick. It was so encouraging to me to find out that this lady had actually done this same schedule with 300 different babies. They weren't her own, obviously. And I found out that it was possible to put a baby from the very beginning on a reasonable, sensible schedule. And it brought the whole household peace, according to the letters in this book from mothers who were so thankful to Gladys for helping them get on a schedule. And so I tried this schedule with my baby, Evangeline. The difficult thing was getting the other five children and my husband to also agree to follow the schedule, because they thought that if they were available and around to help, they should be able to pick her up when there were certain times that the child is supposed to be left alone so that the child can understand he is not always going to be entertained and there must be times when he has to be alone with his thoughts, as she puts it in the book. But I was so thankful to find this book, and I really have encouraged young mothers with new babies to try very hard to put them on a schedule at the beginning. You do have to be a little flexible because she seems like a general in the book with hardly any tenderness, but the principles that she speaks of in training a baby from the very beginning, that you are in control, and it's not what the baby does that's important, it's how you deal with what the baby does that's important. So I must say that book has really helped me.
Val, you didn't explain to people how she got all this experience with 300 babies.
She was a lady who decided after her children were grown that she was going to become a midwife, a nurse midwife, and she would go into people's homes after the baby was born just for the first week and help the mother and the baby to get onto this schedule. So she tried it out, this same schedule, with 300 different babies. And after the 300th one, she decided that it must work. And also mothers were begging her to write it down in a book. So she wrote this book.
And I gave it as a new baby present to a young mother last summer. I think the baby was probably about 3 weeks old. Do you remember, Val? 2 or 3 weeks old when she
Yes.
got that book. And she said it absolutely changed their lives. Now, the baby, of course, changes the lives of a mother and father just instantly. Mm-hmm. When you bring that baby home from the hospital, everything changes. But it doesn't have to change nearly as drastically as young parents often think. Mm-hmm. And that young mother just could not thank me enough for having given her that book. She said, it works. I mean, it really works. And her husband said the same thing. He said, every time we get in a bind, he said, we run and get the book and we look it up and we do what the book says. Now, I can imagine that there are a lot of you out there thinking, oh, yeah, I can just imagine. This is so rigid and I'm not going to put my baby on that. I don't want my baby to be regimented, regulated, rigid, reserved, and all that sort of thing. But as you say, there is flexibility, and I think anybody that reads the book will agree that Gladys Hendrick is a wonderfully compassionate, loving, delightful, humorous woman, anything mm-hmm. but a Prussian major mm-hmm. or general. Mm-hmm. Belle, have you found that the other children enjoy helping with the baby? Are there some that enjoy it and some that might be even better at it that don't enjoy it as much? Or how does it work?
Yes, I have 2 daughters, 8 and 11, who are very different in how they deal with the baby. The 8-year-old longs to be able to help the baby and do things with her, and yet she somehow has a sort of clumsy way about her, and sometimes the baby has screamed at her or rejected her help, whereas the 11-year-old does not have as much of a tender heart. Maybe she doesn't show it as much as Christiana does, and she's much more capable of helping with the baby, and yet she has a more selfish attitude towards helping and doesn't want to always. And Evangeline seems to respond to her more easily. So I don't know why there is that difference. And some of the children at times have been very helpful and love to run to the refrigerator for something or run to the bathroom for an extra diaper. And then other times they've sighed and rolled their eyes and said, why do we always have to do such things for you? But again, it's something that you have to do line upon line and precept upon precept, training and teaching the children that this is part of taking care of God's gift.
I've been impressed with Walter's ability to take care of his younger brothers and sisters. He, being 13 years old now, I just always will remember the picture of 2 years ago when he was 11. We arrived for a visit, and everybody else was out except Walter, and you had gone out, I'm sure, just for a short time the afternoon. But as we drove up to the house, there he stood in the window holding this tiny little infant, mm-hmm. and it really touched my heart. And he does seem to have a special way with them, doesn't he?
He is. I think the Lord has given him special gentleness. He talks now as if he would never want us to have another baby, but he is especially kind and loves to look into their face and talk to them and love them. Even Evangeline, who's 22 months old now, he tries to play with her, and there are times when she rejects him and sort of screeches at him, but then there are times when they really play well together. So I'm so thankful that he has that special gentleness with them.
It seems to me one time when I was there, I guess it was Evangeline that was making a big fuss, and several others had tried to calm her down, and it was Walter who succeeded finally mm-hmm. in bringing peace. Has anybody ever said to you, can you afford all these children?
Yes, many times. There was a lady in the grocery store who said to me, those aren't all yours, are they? And I said, yes, they are. And she said, they can't be. And I said, well, they are. And she said, well, then your husband must make a lot of money. And I said, well, no, not really, compared to most Orange County salaries. And she said, oh, yes, he does. And I said, no, he's a pastor. And she said, well, in this day and age, you have to make a lot of money to have that many children, because you have to think of the food and the clothing and the education is just terrible expense. And she was just adamant about it. And I tried to make light of it and say also that I really believe the Lord provides. But she just couldn't believe that. I really do know that God provides for each gift that he gives. And so it has not been one of my fears when I've thought of having another child that we might not be able to afford him. I know that if God wants to give us another child, he will make us content with what we have and help us to provide for that child.
And you have to make sacrifices, don't you?
That's
mean,
right.
We can't ignore the fact that there is sacrificial love involved in being a parent of even one child, let alone
That's right.
six. Mm-hmm. Do you use babysitters?
We've had to less and less these past 2 years because Walter and Elizabeth are quite capable of keeping everybody. Walter, in the evenings, I would leave him alone a lot with the children, and he can get everybody to bed. Elizabeth, I've left her more often, maybe for an hour or two in the afternoon, but she's even capable now of making sure everybody's getting to bed and being cleaning up the kitchen and doing all that's necessary after I have to leave. We did use a teenage babysitter that we really loved, and she was very responsible for at least the first year and a half that we had moved to California.
Was that one of the Bechtels?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Some of my listeners may remember hearing me talk about Catherine Morgan. What was this girl's first name?
This is Catherine Morgan's granddaughter, Catherine, also.
Catherine Bechtel, mm-hmm. Catherine Morgan's granddaughter. Aren't you worried that you won't give each one of these children the individual attention that they need?
I can say now that I am not worried anymore about it. I was when I had 3 and 4 children, probably and 5 children. At that point, I was still not able to imagine how each one could get all the attention that they needed. But at different times, the Lord has given me separate times alone with each one, and I felt that it was just enough, and probably I would want to choose more time with each one, but I really think that the more that you have, the less selfish they have to learn to be, and I haven't had to spend individual time with each one very often. If there is a problem and I think that they need to be talked to alone, then I would just take that time in the evening or sometimes early morning, get one of them up in the early morning and talk to them and pray with them and read to them.
Well, thanks so much, Val. I always feel as though people can dismiss anything that I say about families and babies and children. First of all, because I've only had one. And secondly, because it's been so many long years since my child was small and people are prone to say, well, things have changed. But the old principles have not changed, and the things that worked when my parents were raising us 6 children, I see generally working very successfully in your family too, Val. So we do appreciate your coming.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.